of the late morning blows dust over her feet as she walks. Familiar smells of cypress and olive hang modest in the air, almost unnoticed by her. The humble buzz of the others moving along in the mundane proves soothing. Her pace is relaxed as she carries the day's water back to the house. It is, after all, just an ordinary day for an ordinary teenage girl in an ordinary town. Back in the house waits the trite, the day's list of requirements not much different than the day before. Humming through the small dwelling, her heels keep beat on the pounded earth floor. Mary halts, senses tingling. Maybe not so ordinary after all. Someone is at the door. As she looks up, she sees a lustrous light that streams through the entryway, almost as in slow motion, as if the sun broke through the clouds to funnel rays directly into the house. But there is no logical reason for this luster. As he steps over the threshold, she can see it is the angel, Gabriel. Words echo from his lips. You are favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you. Mary tries to hide the internal confusion, distress, fear, uncertainty. She is caught in this ebb and flow of emotions. Her defense is up and doubt creeps in. What could merit such a blessing for me? Do not be afraid, Gabriel reassures and carries on. Words jump out. Conceive, give birth, son, throne, kingdom. The fluidity of Gabriel's speech is brilliant and challenging. Nothing less unexpected than that of a messenger of God. As unsettled as Mary is, she is also brave and intuitive. She presents to Gabriel the obvious logic of the situation, which credits her ordinary Jewish upbringing and obedience. But logic ends here. The phenomenal reality, it is not just an ordinary day. It is the sixth month. The sixth month gestational age of the rainbow baby John, the one to make ready for the Lord. Mary is not just an ordinary young woman. She is to bear the Son of God. Nazareth is not just an ordinary town. It will be the hometown of the one who will save the world. God will use the ordinary. Mary's final response to Gabriel, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to be me be fulfilled. So consent is given. The journey is to begin. And you shall call his name Jesus.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spin God
printer. And normally the printer behaves for me. I'm like the best friend of the printer. Anyone has problems with that printer, they're like, hey Jenna, can I send this to you and can you print it? I'm like, heck yeah. This morning, the printer was like, oh, I see you need to print your sermon. Well, that's just not gonna happen. Sorry. So I have my laptop up here. Let's say a quick prayer for the technology. Well, it is so good to be here with you today as we start this fourth week of Advent. Advent is honestly my most favorite time of the year. And And for some reason, this Advent has been particularly Advent-y. And strangely enough, at the same time, it's been the least Christmassy. Until today, I think I said Merry Christmas once, and it was to Claire when she was leaving, because she was leaving, and I realized, oh, I'm not going to get to say Merry Christmas to her. And so I was like, oh, Merry Christmas, and then I gave her a hug, and then she left. And then, of course, lots of you greeted me with Merry Christmas, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have not said Merry Christmas basically all season. But back to Advent. Our Advent series this year has been called Expecting. What are you waiting for? And as I was sitting down to write this sermon, I realized that I've been doing a lot of waiting in this season of my life. And waiting has a connotation of uncertainty. And lots of you in here know me very well. And because you know me well, Hannah's smiling at me because she knows exactly what I'm about to say, I hate uncertainty more than anything in the world, which means that I hate waiting. But because I've experienced so much waiting in my life, I've been able to experience Advent like never before. And that's why my Advent has been so Advent-y. So, even the way that I've been praying lately has been affected by Advent. So, a couple times this Advent, Gary and Richard, close your ears, so I don't want to get in trouble for this. I have come into the auditorium late at night, and I have turned on the Christmas tree, which I realize is not on right now, but that's all right. And I've sat in a pew, usually that one over there, and I just wait. And I pray a little, and I wait some more, and then I pray some more, and then I wait again. And I did this because I realized how beautiful the tree looked. You see, the auditorium is really dark at night. And honestly, it's a little creepy, right? It's a little scary. But the light on the Christmas tree has this way of calming me and bringing peace as I see the light shine in the darkness. In fact, I would pray a little, and I would end my prayer, whatever I was asking for or telling God, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It would go a little something like this. God, I get so frustrated with my parents sometimes. Help me love them better, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God, my apprenticeship year ends in a year and a half, and I'm really not sure what I want to do afterwards. But I'm not going to worry about it, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God, I know you want me to go to seminary, but have you seen the prices? It's real expensive, and I'm real poor. But I'm not going to worry about that, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So I would pray like this for a while. And I found that I didn't really come up with any solutions to these problems, but saying over and over and over again, the light shines. And looking at the Christmas tree and seeing the light shine into the darkness, somehow I felt a whole lot of peace about the things that I had just brought to God. Because, as Michael's friend has said, and we've said over and over again in this sermon series, I know there's a lot of hope around the corner. I just don't know how far the corner is. And so, Advent is about waiting. And knowing that Christ has already come, right? You guys know this Christmas story so well. Christ has come. But Advent is also about waiting for him to come again. In fact, the word Advent means coming. It comes from the Latin word adventus. And so we are waiting for Christ to come again. And we remember how Israel waited for hundreds and hundreds of years for a Messiah to come. And in all that waiting, I don't think anyone waited like our dear Mary did. Mary was an ordinary girl living in first century Palestine, but she was chosen to bear the Messiah into the world. And Melindy just recounted the story. It's like Claire knew what the sermon topic was going to be. Praise God. So Mary, an angel appears to Mary, and the angel tells her, hey, you're going to bear the Messiah. And Mary's basically like, yeah, all right, whatever God wills. And then she waits. And as many of you know, because you understand human reproduction, she waits about 9 months. And as a lot of you know, because you've been pregnant or have been married to someone who has been pregnant, that 9 months can be really, really, really long. And this is where we're going to camp out today. Mary is pregnant, and she's expecting, literally waiting to give birth, right? So we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, in verse 39. Mary has been told that she's going to give birth to the Messiah. We learn that shortly after, she runs to her cousin's home. This cousin is Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist. She's about 6 months in. And the text says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zechariah's home, and she greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. That baby's John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And then in response, Mary sings a song. In fact, the song we just sang is based off of this song. She sings, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This text and the entire nativity narrative are grounded in humble people, in humble circumstances, and what they do while they wait. And this song, in particular, is about what we're waiting for. And it really is. It's a perfectly Hebrew song. We see songs like this all throughout the Old Testament. Because like I said, Israel was waiting for a very long time. And they knew how to write songs about what they were waiting for. This song talks about God seeing the humble, exalting them, lifting them up. It's also about God who brings down those who are proud and those who sit on thrones and those who are rich. And that is another sermon. This song is about rejoicing and glorifying God that he sees us in our humble position. And at its heart, this is the Advent song. This is the song sung by a woman waiting to bear Christ into the world. And wait, Mary does. You see, Mary has the Messiah, and then what does she do? She waits more. In fact, she waits a whole 30 years before Jesus does anything super cool and Messiah-worthy. And she thought the 9 months was long. Mary spends most of her life waiting. One might say that Mary's life was about waiting. But as we look at Mary, and we see all of the waiting that she does, we have to look back and listen to the words that Elizabeth, her cousin, says to her. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. This really begs the question, What exactly did God promise Mary? What did God promise his people? And what does God promise to us? What are we waiting for? Isaiah chapter 7 says, "Behold, a virgin will give birth, and she will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." All right, pop quiz time. What does Emmanuel mean, church? Every time I'm up here, I beat you over the head with this word. So pop quiz, what does it mean? Are you ready? Ready? Emmanuel means? Oh, thank God. Oh, man. When I was writing this, I was like, oh my gosh, what if they don't say anything? Yes, Emmanuel, it means God with us. And this is the Advent story. The world was dark and lonely, but Christ was coming into the world to be with us. One of my favorite people ever, Bob Goff, says, Jesus jumps out of heaven to be with us. The Son of God was born to an ordinary teenage girl in a manger during a time when God's people were being oppressed by the Roman Empire. It doesn't get more humble than that, guys. And that is how Christ chose to break into the world. He made his home in the womb of a teenage girl. And then she birthed him, and light was born into the darkness. Man. We have so much to learn about Mary and her song. Because just like Mary's life was about waiting, our lives are also mostly spent waiting. The light came and it shone into the darkness. Jesus came and the darkness did not overcome it. But there is still darkness in our world. Amen. We are so acutely aware in our day-to-day lives of the darkness that still exists in our world. And we are waiting for the day when the light completely overcomes the dark. We wait for the second coming of Christ, for the new Jerusalem, for the day we live in the full and complete presence of God in a world with no darkness, no tears, no pain, and no more waiting. Advent means coming. And he does. He comes to you just like Mary. He comes to you and he makes his home inside of you. And blessed are we because God is with us. But if we look to the example of Mary, we see that her story doesn't end in pregnancy. She bears Christ into the world. And this is the fulfillment of God's promise to her. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. The promise is that she will become pregnant and that she will bear Christ into a world waiting for light. And so right now, church, this is the point of the sermon. Don't miss it. Are you awake? Is everyone awake? Don't miss the point, because here it is. You are the Blessed Virgin Mary when in your humble state you bear Christ into the world. That was it. I'm going to say it again. You are the Blessed Virgin Mary when in your humble and lowly state you bear Christ into the world. This is what we do while we wait. I think Andrew said it recently, what we're waiting for really does determine how we wait. And this is what we do while we wait. We bear Christ into the world. We build the kingdom of heaven here on earth and help dispel the darkness. So I say to you, if you have ever felt downtrodden, marginalized, overlooked, hung out to dry, and cast aside, take heart. Advent is for you. He is coming. Advent is the season where we remember the darkness and the pain that still exists in the world. While we wait for its full reality, we build God's restorative dream for the world. This is what was promised, that the light would shine in the darkness, and the darkness would not overcome it. We were promised Emmanuel, God with us. And blessed are you who believes that what the Lord has promised would be fulfilled. Christ comes to you, and he dispels the darkness within you. He dispels your sin, your self-doubt, your self-rejection, and like a mother, holds you closely to him. But this is not yet the fulfillment of the promise, not quite. Because you see, Christ came, and he lived, and he died, and he ascended, and he left behind two things. Two things that were so powerful that these two things changed the world. I think we definitely all know what the first one is. The Holy Spirit, right? Christ left the Holy Spirit. And secondly, Christ left you, the church. He has chosen you to fulfill his promise. He has chosen us. You are the light of the world, he says. Let your light shine before men. This is what he said to us. He has chosen us to continually, day after day after day, bear light into a weary, weary world. Christ is the light of the world, and when we bear him into the darkness, we are just like his mother Mary. We are called to bring peace and comfort and healing to those who are downtrodden, to those who are marginalized and overlooked and cast aside and hung out to dry. We are invited to bring the light of Christ. And it's true, we may be humble, but we are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. And this is what this song is about. It's about the fulfillment of God's promise to us for us to live an abundant life with him. And blessed are we who have believed that what the Lord has promised will be fulfilled. This is our song. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call us blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for us. Holy is his name. He extends mercy to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent away the rich empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. This is our song, and it's a shame we don't talk about it more. It's a song about what the world will be like when Christ restores all things. And for now, we don't just wait. We continue the work of Christ, which is to proclaim to all people that the kingdom of heaven is available now. The relationship with God is available now. This is the dream of God, and while we wait for the fullness of this dream, we dream the dream of our Father, and we help make it a reality right now. Because we're all Mary. Christ comes to us and we bear him into the world until he has found a home in all people. And so, I leave you with this, as I have ended almost all of my prayers this Advent season. The light shines in the darkness. And blessed are we who wait, knowing there will be a day